Chapter 1. To the Managers and Workers in Our Institutions. In the providence of God, we have institutions established among us to advance the promulgation of truth. But they do not reach the efficiency they might if the workers were wholly consecrated to God. The Lord has made every provision that these institutions may reach a high standard, that they may attain to a larger growth and wider usefulness, and that those employed in them may possess Christian virtues and graces. But those connected with these instrumentalities are not all devout and spiritual. They do not represent the spirit and character of Christ. They are not in samples to those connected with them, because they do not live in communion with God, earnestly seeking by faith and fervent prayer to know His will that they may do it. Missionary institutions. These instrumentalities are missionary institutions. The Lord designed that they should be a power for good, and if all who are connected with them are consecrated, if they are meek and lowly in heart, Christ will give them most precious lessons in His school. In our health institutions, our publishing houses, our schools, all should work harmoniously to carry out the purpose of God, and everything connected with the institutions should tend toward reform. The managers and helpers should have the true missionary spirit as a daily abiding principle, for they are in a field that requires the highest kind of missionary work. Our institutions, properly conducted, will exert a far-reaching influence, and if the managers and workers are Christians, they will be as shining lights. They will educate those connected with them in the principles of truth. A responsibility to spread the knowledge of right principles rests upon who have received the light. This responsibility should be felt by every man and woman who claims to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and much more by those who are connected with our institutions. All should realize that these institutions are an important part of the Lord's great work for the salvation of souls. Let it be the aim of all to be laborers together with God for the uplifting of humanity. All should be educators by precept and example. The Superintendent. Wisdom is needed in the selection of managers in the various departments. It is impossible for one to control others until he learns to control himself. The superintendent should be a man who loves and fears God. He should sacredly guard his reputation, giving no occasion for anyone to reproach the cause of God. He should not be narrow-minded, a man of one idea. One who is changeable, now indulgent, then cold and unapproachable, or critical, exacting, and domineering, is not fitted for this position. Nor is he who will cherish suspicion, jealousy, passion, or stubbornness. These traits are not pleasing to God, and will not be manifested by any who take Jesus for their pattern and counselor. The superintendent must manifest the Spirit of Christ, yet he should be firm to restrain evil. A neglect of this duty shows him to be unfit for his position. God requires of a steward that he be found faithful. A manager must be a growing man in order to meet the difficulties as well as the opportunities that are constantly arising. He should be quick to discern what needs to be done and take active measures to accomplish the work at the right time. There are many rules made, many regulations passed, that fall dead because they are not carried into effect. Time is spent in board meetings, councils, and business meetings. Matters are discussed and resolutions made. And then, if these resolutions die a natural death, things are left in a worse state than if no action had been taken. Those in responsibility. If those who hold positions of trust are persons who love and fear God, they will realize that a sacred responsibility is theirs, because of the measure of authority and the consequent influence which their position gives them. They are dealing with varied minds, and they should move discreetly, for they are representatives of the institution. They should be kind and courteous, manifesting Christian politeness toward all with whom they are brought in contact, both believers and unbelievers. Brethren, you are to represent the family to the heavenly King. You are to watch for souls as they that must be given an account. We should never forget that Jesus, in the infinite sacrifice that He has made, has proved His love for every man, woman, and child. He has shown what value He places upon every soul, All have been purchased by the price of his own blood.
Let your influence be persuasive, binding people to your hearts, because you love Jesus, and these souls are his purchased possession. This is a great work. If, by your Christ-like words and actions, you make impressions that will create in their hearts a hungering and thirsting after righteousness and truth, you are a collaborator with Christ. Those who have a leading influence in the institutions should be men and women who possess devotion and piety, who are not narrow and selfish in any matter, but conscientious, self-denying, and self-sacrificing, ever dealing with the workers as they would wish to be dealt with, having an eye single to the glory of God. Men of such a character will keep the way of the Lord. The workers should seek to make it as easy as possible for those who bear the burden of responsibility and have many cares and perplexities to engage their attention. Right principles. All need to have right principles placed before them in a judicious manner. Men of investigating minds will thus receive the key of knowledge and will bring out treasures of thought for the enriching of other minds, thought that will result in the saving of souls. Circumstances will call forth words and decisions in favor of the right, and many will thus be swayed in the right direction. Words and works flowing from the heart, imbued with the love and fear of God, become a widespread blessing, a blessing that is carried into the highways and byways of life. There are words spoken that are not Christ-like, bitter, harsh, wicked words. This should not be. Leaders in our institutions have many and weighty responsibilities. Their only safety is in keeping their thoughts and impulses under the control of the great teacher. They have golden opportunities for doing good. They can speak words in season that will guide and mold the many and varied minds with which they are brought in contact. Daily they should take their stand for God as though it were the last day they should serve in this capacity. Show men and women connected with the institution how pure and noble they may become. Let them see that you have firm confidence in God and that He is your source of strength, that you are resting wholly upon His promises. Fulfill your duty with promptness, while claiming your Heavenly Father's help in overcoming all weakness of character. With the hand of faith, grasp the arm of infinite power. Put your whole being into your work. Ever keep a winning, courteous, kind spirit, and every room may be transformed into a Bethel. God demands more of us than we are willing to give Him. None are to be forward or obtrusive, but we are quietly to live out our religion with an eye single to the glory of God. Learn of me, says Christ, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Then we shall shine as lights in the world, without noise or friction. None need fail, for one is with them who is wise in counsel, excellent in working, and mighty to accomplish his designs. He works through his agents, seen and unseen, human and divine. This work is a grand work, and will be carried forward to the glory of God if all who are connected with it will make their works correspond to their profession of faith. Purity of thought must be cherished as indispensable to the work of influencing others. The soul must be surrounded by a pure, holy atmosphere, an atmosphere that will tend to quicken the spiritual life of all who inhale it. A lowered standard. In the present state of society, with the lax morals of not only youth, but those of age and experience, there is great danger of becoming careless and giving a special attention to favorites, and thus creating envy, jealousy, and evil surmising. But few realize that they drive away the Spirit of God with their selfish thoughts and feelings, their foolish, trifling talk. When admonished, they say, "I meant no harm." What do these frivolous ones mean? Do they forget that that which they sow, they shall also reap? This silly, nonsensical conversation reveals a weak character and is an offense to God. If the grace of Christ were planted in their hearts, and striking its roots down deep into good soil, they would bear fruit of an altogether different character. They would be acquiring moral stamina, that strength of purpose and solidity of character, which are essential for the great and good work that ought to be done. Others would feel their influence, and would take knowledge of them that they were led and taught by Jesus. Many of these trifling, frivolous ones make a profession of religion, and this hollow form of godliness has been so long tolerated that it has pervaded our institutions and extends to our churches. The standard of piety is lowered into the dust. Careful attention should be given to the moral standing and influence of everyone employed in our institutions. If the workers are in any way impure in heart of life, it will be revealed in their words and actions, notwithstanding their efforts to conceal the truth. If they are not strictly moral, there is danger in employing them, for they will be in a position where they can mislead those who desire to reform and can confirm them in unholy, defiling practices. Our probation is short at best. We have no time to spend in erratic movements. The familiarity of married men with married women and with young girls is disgusting in the sight of God and holy angels. The forwardness of young girls in placing themselves in the company of young men, hanging around where they are at work, entering into conversation with them, talking common, idle talk, is belittling to womanhood. It lowers them, even in the estimation of those who indulge in such things. There is a positive necessity for reform. All frivolity, all undue attention of men to women, or women to men, must be condemned and discontinued. These things have produced great evil in the world. The first appearance of irregularity in conduct should receive attention. The young should be taught to be frank yet modest in all their associations. They should be taught to respect just rules and authority. If they refuse to do this, after the right kind of labor has been bestowed upon them, let them be dismissed, whatever position they occupy, for they will demoralize others. God's purpose for us. Those who labor in our institutions are there for the purpose of promoting the intellectual and spiritual welfare of those under their care. They must make their work a matter of earnest prayer and study, that they may know how to deal with human minds and accomplish the object before them. The mind may be so elevated that divine thoughts and contemplations come to be as natural as the breath. All the faculties of the soul are to be trained. We must do God's work intelligently. We must know the truth, and to know this is to know God. Managers and workers, are your souls united to Christ as the branch is united to the living vine? If you have not been renewed in the spirit of your mind, for your soul's sake, make no delay to have your life hid with Christ in God. This is the first business of your life. When Christ is abiding in the heart, you will not be light, trifling, and immodest, but circumspect and reliable in every place, sending forth pure words, like streams from a pure fountain, refreshing all with whom you come in contact. If you decide to continue your idle talk and frivolous conduct, go to some other place, where your influence and example will not be so widely felt in contaminating other souls. What you all need is such a sense of the purity and holiness of Christ as will lead you to despise this pretense of religion, which blesses no one, gives no peace of conscience, no repose of faith. A higher standard demanded. It is time that we as Christians reach a much higher standard. God forbid that any institution that He has planted shall become a means of decoying souls, a place where iniquity is taught. Let all learn in the school of Christ, meekness, purity, and lowliness of heart. Let them hang their helpless souls on Jesus. Live in the light shining from the oracles of God. Educate mind and heart to pure, elevated, holy thoughts. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Whatever influence you have, direct it to exalting Jesus and not self. Unless you do this, you are a false guide, leading souls away from the truth, the life, the light of the world. And the more pleasing and attractive your manners, the greater the harm you do. I tell you, every soul needs a genuine conversion. All your faculties need to be consecrated to God, that you may not encourage the evils prevailing in society, but may counteract them. Many have been cultivating habits that lead directly to earthly and sensual actions, and unless the power of God shall break the snare, souls will be lost in consequence. God has claims upon you that you do not realize, for you have not brought Christ into your lives. Great decision of character will now be necessary on your part to change this order of things. No weak efforts will accomplish the work. You cannot do it for yourselves. You must have the grace of Christ, or you can never overcome. All your plans will prove a failure unless you are actuated by higher motives and upheld by greater strength than you can have in and of yourselves. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There will be no relish for trifling conversation on the part of those who are looking to Jesus for strength, depending upon his righteousness for salvation. By faith they accept Christ as their personal Savior, and become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Without partiality. There should be no giving of special favors or attentions to a few, no preferring of one above another. This is displeasing to God. Let all bear in mind the words of inspiration. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. When you pass by one who is in need of your sympathy and kindly acts, and bestow your favors upon others simply because they are more pleasing to you, remember that Jesus is insulted in the person of his afflicted ones. He says, "I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not." To the surprised inquiry, "Lord, when saw we thee thus?" the answer is given, "Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, who were afflicted and needed your sympathy, ye did it not to me." They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. The bruised and wounded, the lame of the flock, are among us, and these test the character of those who claim to be children of God. The Lord will not excuse the wrongdoer. He will never sanction partiality to the wealthy or oppression of the weak. He requires exact and impartial justice. More than this, he requires that his followers shall always have compassion for the suffering, pity and love for the erring. The question is, shall we be Bible Christians? Will we disregard the plainest instruction given us in the Word of Life and erect a false standard whereby to measure our characters? Is this a safe thing for us to do? Let those who claim to be Bible believers act out their faith by obedience to all the requirements of God. Christ has invited you, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Do those who claim to believe the testimonies read and practice their teachings? All the light given in the living oracles and in the testimonies, which all may read and apply, can condemn them in the day of God if they do not heed the instruction given. Brethren, the days of our probation are nearly ended. It is time to awake out of sleep. You are in a position of great responsibility. You need to watch unto prayer. Watch against habits of sin. Keep a watch over the tongue. Watch for opportunities to do good and bless others, ever looking to Jesus, growing in grace and a knowledge of the truth. If you want the higher life, you must live the higher life in the lower life of this world. We are working for time and for eternity. A well-built life is formed by living upon the plan of addition, laying up one grace after another in good works, in faith, patience, temperance, benevolence, courage, self-denial. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Learning of Christ, you will not be a jumble of opposites and inconsistencies, today sober and devout, tomorrow careless and frivolous. Christ has made every provision that your character may be harmonious through the grace given you. Then build it harmoniously. Let the structure rise stone on stone. Catch the rays of divine light from Jesus and let them shine upon the pathway of others who are in darkness. All the universe of God is looking upon us with intense interest.